single dog life versus more than one dog life. Essentially, should I be getting a second dog? That's what I want to talk to you about, because it's a really hot topic for people, and it's really hard to describe and almost think in the future as how that second dog, or you know, is going to change things really. The easiest way for me to talk about this with you is the difference really between having two dogs and then having one dog. So I lost my lovely greyhound a couple of months ago now, and we're just getting used to single dog life, and it is a really big difference. So it's easier really for me to kind of talk to you about it backwards almost. Now, I'm getting a lot of people say to me when I say, oh, I've lost my dog, the first thing they say is, will you get another one? Sorry, that's my cat. and it kind of surprises me, and I suppose I surprise them, and I say, no, I do not want another one. Not only that, I really like to mourn animals properly. I don't replace them that quick. It takes me a very long time to get over an animal. It doesn't matter if it's a ferret or a mouse or, you know, a dog. I don't run out and go and try and replace it. And a lot of people, clients that I've also seen, they've been trying to do this, and it creates problems because they put on a lot of their emotions of the old dog onto the new dog, and it just doesn't match up. And they're almost putting the old dog on a pedestal and thinking, why isn't this dog the same? You know, it's just because it's not going to replace your old dog. It's a completely different dog, even if it looks the same. But I see a lot of problems with that. People can't get past the memory of you know, what was going on really. So that's something to bear in mind. The first thing, which most people be aware of, and most people will say is the first thing really, is cost. Once Sky passed away, noticed a big difference in the cost. It's not just the cost of a new dog, as they always say, it's the cost of keeping a dog, but it's more than that. Even if you work out things like, oh, this much for insurance, and this is the flea treatment every month, it's lots of little things, like if they get ill and stuff like that. There are some dogs that just, it's almost like they're just sickly dogs and they always get sick. So you just have to be aware of kind of what you're getting. Certain breeds need a lot more care, like English Bulldogs need a lot more care. But certain dogs, they're just more sickly and they are going to cost more. But it's the surprise things, the ones that catch you by the surprise, like the dog's been run over now, the dog's picked up something, it's eaten a stone, now it needs an operation. That factors in quite a large portion, because that can cost thousands out of nowhere. New dog means new surprises. So whatever problems your old dog did or didn't have, this one is very likely going to be completely different. You're going to get completely different. If your last one ate stones, this one's going to run away. You know, it's stuff like that, and you can't predict what's going to happen. So you do need to make sure you've got a fair chain wedge in the bank. Insurance doesn't cover for everything. But cost is a big factor, and old dogs cost so much. So you could, you know, I mean, I could have like five little dogs like Flicker. It wouldn't cost me a thing until they turned 12 and plus. Sky was costing me £150 a month, and she was on literally the cheapest tinned food I could afford, because it was just medical bills. It was so much. I spent so much money on keeping her alive, essentially, as in pain-free. I wanted her pain-free, as mobile as possible. You know, so she's on every supplement. She was on the Librela injection. She was on steroids. I did give her a very good quality biscuit because she had that mixed in with the tins. But because she's a greyhound as well, she needed three or four tins every single day. Not little sachets, the actual 400-gram tins of dog food. So she costs quite a lot in food anyway. But that's the first thing I noticed. The food bill, the vet bill, it's all gone down. And it frees a lot of stuff up financially. But other things that I have noticed, I mean, apart from the house seems extremely big without her, which is kind of weird because all she did was sleep all day anyway. But the rooms seem bigger, you know, it's more empty, which is a bit sad, but it literally is just easier without her. Old dogs are really difficult, I will say that. They're kind of, as she got incontinent, she was never good anyway. Even when I got her at 4.5, and she wasn't great at holding the toilet, and she did get worse and worse. And, you know, it's the problem solving thing of, right, now we've got to put nappies on her at night and things like that. And, oh, this has happened, so I've got to find a way around it. Like, she was slipping with the bowl, so now we've got an anti-slip mat where the bowls are. And it's all this problem solving thing which happens almost every few months with an older dog. You've got to kind of keep thinking your way out of it, And that's taxing, and it's taxing emotionally as well. So that's a big thing. That's kind of clear. So the more dogs you have, the more kind of old age dogs you're going to have. And again, they're all going to have different problems. So it's just more problems for you to solve. And yeah, it just takes up headspace. One thing that I've definitely noticed, which again will depend on different people, is that my dog's ages were very far apart. There was about a 7-year difference. And I do not recommend that there's an age gap that big, because it didn't take long before I had to do two different walks a day. So the greyhound could only walk so far, and the little one needs loads. So I had to do two different walks, which was annoying. I couldn't just get them done in one after a few years. And they were, because they're different breeds, again, it's different personalities. So one needed one thing, another needed another. So Flicker doesn't like dogs coming up, but she's got excellent recall. But it means that I've always got to be scanning for dogs on the horizon. Just if one comes up, she comes back naturally most of the time anyway, but I want to call her and then I have to do the thing where I stand in between and all that jazz. Whereas Skye, if you kind of didn't keep your eyes on her, she didn't have great recall because I never bothered to train for it, essentially. It's just like the dog's somewhere there. She's friendly. She doesn't cause a fuss. She just keeps to herself. So I never bothered, essentially, to train for it. She just followed me because we were a team and that was that. But it did mean that she would just wander off, and not fast. You know, obviously she'd see a squirrel and that's fine, but even when she got really old, she would just start walking off and like not with purpose, just ambling, and then you'd see her somewhere else in the other, and, you know, especially if someone was sitting down or standing, she just assumed that they were there for her to stroke, and she would just start meandering over. So it's constantly like, right, what's this dog's problem, how can I accommodate, what's this dog's problem, how can I accommodate it? And again, it didn't make the walks that enjoyable. It's like you have to have eyes anywhere. If you put a child in that mix as well, now you're watching the child for their problems. So it's one more thing to think about. The same in the house. We had Flicker, which she's very house trained. She can hold the toilet forever. Skye can't. So now it's a case of, right, I want to go to the zoo. That means I have to organise people to come round to let Skye out and see Skye, or it means I've got to stick her in a nappy, you know, and that means that there could be urine when we come back and I've got to clean it all up. Again, that's an old dog thing, but it does happen. That's what's going to happen. You know, even Flicker's probably going to go through there if she lives long enough. But it's just the taxing of, this is kind of starting to be a strain on my life, having two different dogs that require two different lifestyles, mainly because they're different breeds and different ages. But it doesn't matter. I see a lot of people that have got kind of, especially little dogs, people kind of start getting loads of little dogs, but they have one or two that have been great, and then the third one comes in and it's a nightmare, and it makes the other two a nightmare as well. So if you are going to get a dog, first of all, if your first dog's got any behavioural problems, you've got to sort it out, because it's very likely that your new dog's just going to copy. So if you've got something like separation anxiety, what's most likely going to happen is you're just going to have two dogs with separation anxiety, because that's going to just teach the other one. They spend more time together than you're going to spend time with them because they live together. Unless you were keeping them in separate kennels like they do at a rescue centre, the dogs are just picking up each other's behaviour all the time. But unfortunately, it can work the other way, where you bring in a new dog with behavioural problems and now you've got all dogs that bark at the door. So they do influence each other like that. I was really lucky with Skye, and I think most greyhounds are like this anyway. She's very stable. She's a very, very stable personality. So it doesn't really matter whatever Flicker did. Skye's just Skye. She doesn't care. They're really good dogs. Like, balanced dogs are the best dogs. Flicker's really, really unbalanced. that's just who she is. And that's really something that you're not going to know straight away anyway. You're not going to really know if the dogs, unless you're an expert at kind of establishing puppies or older dogs and assessing them, you're not going to know who's balanced and who's not. So just be aware, whatever comes into the mix, if it's stable, if you've got your life how you want it, I would say don't add another dog, really. I mean, at the same time, if you've got your life how you don't want it, don't add another dog. But just be aware, just because, you know, life's good, whenever you add anything in, it's a bit like changing your recipe. Something's going to change. And some dogs have got higher energies than others. So if you're not prepared to do like a 2-hour walk and you've got like a little dachshund or something, then don't add a Springer Spaniel to the mix, because it's just going to change your life. So you have to think, how is this going to change my life, and do I want that lifestyle change for the next 15 years potentially? That's really what you've got to look at. It's all these little things. It changes so much. I've noticed such a big difference with Skye, and I feel freer without her. I love her so much, and she was such a darling dog, and she was perfect, to be honest. But it's so much easier. It's so much easier. I don't have to kind of squash myself up into a knotted ball on the sofa to accommodate her. it's just, Flick is very, very good. She just keeps herself to herself. She doesn't even really bark at the door now anymore. She's really calming down. The last thing I want is to add a new dog in the mix and for it all to be a chaotic and to do all that training, which really, to get a dog how you want it, takes about 2 years, to be honest. If you want to cover absolutely everything from toilet training to recall, it takes until a dog's two to get them how you want them. Do I want to spend the next 2 years taking the dog out, you know, and doing training for 2 hours every day on various bits? No, I don't. I don't have time for that. Another thing, definitely worth pointing out, which a lot of people don't, is holidays. Do you like to go on holiday? Because a lot of people will take one dog, but not many will take two, especially if your second dog has now got problem behaviours. Or it might even be that the second dog has problem behaviours, so you feel you can't put them somewhere. I couldn't put Flicker in a home, you know, like one of these where they all go into somebody's house and they all do what they want for a week. There's no way. There's going to be massive fights. That's not how she is. She's very, very nervous of situations, and she doesn't like chaos. It would have to be so perfectly ordered. In fact, I know one person I could leave her with because she is really on her dogs. They do everything they're told. They get really loads and loads of exercise. They're cockapoos. And they're extremely calm, and she's really on them, and they have to do as they're told. She's really strict. So her I could trust. I couldn't. Flicker is not balanced enough to be left in one of these chaos houses where they're all over the place. She couldn't cope. And that's a problem for me, because it either means that I've got to put her into kennels, which last time I checked were £30 a night, so that would cost as much as the holiday, or it's only English holidays for us. I mean, for the last 6 years, that's what we've done. We've just done English holidays. Flicker's come with me. And my parents have managed to have Skye. Again, Skye couldn't come because Skye's always had incontinent issues. Skye can't be left for, you know, long periods, even in a caravan. And she takes up a lot of room, and then the caravan might be too hot and she can't cope with, you know, changes in temperature and all this stuff. Whereas Flick's a lot better at that. Again, a lot of that is older dog stuff. When she was four, she could have come, but she's older. Now she needs a much more stable life. But I didn't, you know, I couldn't leave both dogs with them. It's too much, and because they've got different things, it's too much for them. But that's worth saying. So if you've got someone that regularly takes the dog, you need to check with them really first. If they're your answer, and even work, some people leave their dogs with other people at work. It's like, would you mind having a second dog? And they're like, yeah, sure. And it's like, what if it's X, Y, and Z? You know, it might be a bit jumpy. You know, it might be a bit excitable, and might. It'll be a puppy, so it won't be toilet trained. And if they're like, that sounds a bit difficult, then you've already hit a wall. If you do go kennels way, which personally I think is the safest way, I know people don't like it, and effectively it kind of is like a prison and all the inmates going a bit mental. However, it is so safe. It is so safe. They're not going to meet other dogs. They're just going to be in their own kennel and stuff like that. But now you've effectively doubled the price. So whatever you were paying before, you can double that, which is, again, going to be as much as your holiday. It starts getting insane. So the cost is insane. It's just something to think about, really. those are really my main points, which might not seem a lot from the other way around if I list them off. So we've got holidays are made difficult. You might have to do separate walks. The house is going to be slightly more chaotic when you come in. It's going to cost a lot more in vet bills. Essentially, your lifestyle is going to change. Most people can kind of accept that. In the same way, when people kind of have another child or even the first child, you assume that everything's kind of going to be, you know, the same or slightly the same, but it's not. I am really enjoying the space and how easy it is having one dog that I can be like, I can walk, I can pick a time, doesn't matter what time, she doesn't need to go out at a certain time, we can pick a time, we can go out whenever, we can go wherever. She's got good recoil, it doesn't matter that there's squirrels and stuff around, she will go there and come back, she won't go up to other dogs, I don't have to concentrate on that, I don't have to worry about her leg so it won't be too long, you know, she can go for as long as whenever, I don't have to force supplements down her throat every day because she's not old yet, I don't have incontinent problems around the house, I don't have to worry about, go quick, we've got to get in, you know, we can't stay out too long because Sky's going to wee everywhere. And then also, it's the other thing with incontinent dogs, is how quickly you get in the house. So I can't sit in the car and mess about with shopping bags. The first thing I'm going to do is open that door and get the dog out. That's what it was like. Quick, get the dog out, she's probably weeing now. That's how crazy it was. Now I can just take my time. Flick's not going to bark, she's not going to howl, she's perfectly trained. She will just wait for me to come in, shut the door, do the bags, open the door for her because she's kept shut away, so she's nice and calm. She just does her thing, and then eventually I'll just open the back door for her if she wants to go out. She may not. There's no mess, there's no nothing, and it's all calm. And it's, you know, I really don't want to have to think about the second dog. What's the second dog doing? What's the second dog thinking? How much is the second dog costing? When's the second dog need feeding? Again, Flick only needs feeding once a day. Sky needed twice. She needed twice, and she needed monthly vet appointments. When's I'm booking that in? And it just goes on and on and on. And having an old dog with a young dog, or having an old, you know, even an old dog, another old dog. Old dogs are a hard work in that respect. They really take their toll on you. And that they can make your lives miserable, I'm sorry to say, but it does get you down when there's urine all the time. Again, we had to problem solve all this. There was a time where Skye could stay in the living room whenever she wanted. Then it was like, no, it's you know, it's not at night. Then it was like, no, it's only supervised in the day, you know, completely, because she would just get up and wee. So she had to be on a chair where there were tiles all the time. So if there was an accident, at least it's on the tiles, not the carpet. Although I've bought a carpet cleaner, but you can never really get it up. And that's what I mean. I don't want to go back to that stress. And even though a new dog, a young dog, wouldn't be doing that, he would be doing something. I can assure you, he would be doing something. It'd be like chaos barking or trying to jump the fence or trying to run out the front door. Or, you know, now he slipped out his collar because I don't, you know, haven't really learnt about my new dog yet. There's all these new problems. I'm not at a time in my life where I want any new problems. It's enough. It's enough just to do this job, to be honest. The problem solving with the owners and their dogs is enough for me. I don't need any in my direct life. So just think where you're at. You know, do you really want another dog? How much is it going to fit in with this lifestyle? You don't really want a completely different lifestyle change. You want it as close as possible to the one you've got. My parents, they've always had Labradors. They would never deviate from the breed. Which I did think was slightly odd and a bit boring, but I get it now because they've pretty much always got the same problems. It's the same problems. They've got elbow and hip problems, which means they can't go upstairs or on sofas for the first year. The problems never change. They've always pulled on the lead. They've always struggled with recall. So at least it's the same problems. We've never had one where it's like, oh God, now it's savaging someone. Oh, he's bitten that dog. It's always the same stuff, and they're because they're show labs, they're all related somewhere along the line, but they're quite not carbon copies of each other, but they're pretty close. They're very, very similar in personality, and you know what you can get away with them. You know how to push them too far or not, and you know what motivates them. One dog I will say that is like literally carbon copies of greyhounds. they are so the same. I love them so much, and they are different. You know, if you had six greyhounds, you'd tell them apart. They've all got their quirks, but they are really carbon copies. So I would have a greyhound again, definitely, but not at this point in time. And it's something, again, for you to think about. Do you really want that dog, or should you wait a bit until things have got a bit better? or do you want your own dog a bit more mature? I would not advise getting a new dog if you've got a dog that's under a year old. That's the first thing I'm going to say. They're really highly influenced when they're under a year old. To be honest, your perfect age really is, well, your own dog needs to be two and over, because you want to get all that training. They change a lot, personality and hormonally, up till two, and their personality's not really set until two. So even if you've got you know, a dog that doesn't have dog aggression and a breed that's prone to dog aggression, right, like an Akita, very prone to dog aggression, if it's one and it's still friendly, it doesn't mean it's going to be friendly. You wait until that dog's two, then you can make a clear judge of character on what that dog is going to be. Don't think that because your dog's a year old and pretty much perfect that they're going to stay like that. Wait till two if you can. Definitely don't do it under a year. Two puppies, it's really difficult. It's just really, really difficult. They start listening to each other and not you, basically. But anyway, that's it. It's your life. You're going to think about it and just to take some points on board. If you're interested in more videos or stuff that I do, I am on TikTok. I usually put my TikTok videos also on Facebook and Instagram, so just search Fawn Dog for those. And the main website is fawndog121dogtraining.co.uk. Thanks for listening, guys.